15 minutes into a podcast.
Back in action.
We had, this is take number two. We had a wiring mishap.
We got 60 seconds in the other one. So.
Yeah, so it's all good. But originally, we were talking about
steps.
We're talking about the consistency over everything challenge. And not quite a week into it, but I had posted in the group about, it was after the first day, asking, you know, how the first day went, you know, what were the kind of struggles. And like you said, and even people have been kind of complaining to you a bit about the step counts.
Steps.
And it's not just kind of explaining the why behind it, right? I think if anything, a lot of you guys, it should be eye-opening to you to see exactly how sedentary you are.
I think that's the biggest thing.
If you're awake for, say, 17, 18 hours of your day, how sedentary you are for those 18 hours that you're awake, besides the hours you come work out, right? And that's where the problem is a lot of times with you guys is, like, it's great that you're getting a workout, right? And you're still doing more than 90%+ of the population out there, right? But one problem that you are not thinking of is the fact that you are not moving the other 17 hours of your day.
I think it's funny because, like, I think people are starting to realize, like, they're only moving when they're going from, like, their car to a building, mm-hmm. I feel like.
They maybe get, like, 50 steps from their,
that's it.
From their car to their couch or from their car to their office chair, whatever it may be. And you're sitting for 12 hours a day probably plus, right? You're getting a little bit of movement in your house as you're going from the sink to the laundry room to the dinner table to the living room, whatever it may be. But you only can get, you know, X amount of steps really doing it that way, right? You probably stayed home all day. I guarantee you probably wouldn't crack over 3,000 steps in a day.
No.
You know?
If you don't leave your house, I guarantee you don't go over 3,000.
And which is crazy to think about because that's less, it's like a mile and a half. It's like a mile and a half worth of walking the whole entire day. And so the idea being is that if you can constitute more moving, even though it doesn't necessarily feel like exercise, that you can have more calorie burn throughout your day, right? But think, you always hear it all the time, is like, oh, you know, when I was in high school, you know, I could just eat anything I wanted. I just would just be skinny all the time. I'm like, dude, look how active you were.
Dude. You were going to PE, you're walking through classes. I mean, you're
going upstairs with backpack on.
Doing all kinds of stuff.
Like, you were so much more physically active. I guarantee your step count was like 20,000 steps a day almost when you're in high school. Like, between playing sports and doing everything else, you were five times more active than you are now. But, you know, everybody always kind of likes to use the out of, well, oh, you know, I'm just older, metabolism, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's really not. It's the fact that you just, life has taken over now. And you're behind a desk and you go home and now you're exhausted from sitting in a chair all day and all you want to do now is sit down on the couch and watch TV and turn off your brain, right? And use that as an escape or play video games, whatever that out may be for you. And it should be a little bit more eye-opening that, okay, I need to start installing more free flow movement throughout my day, one way or the other, right? Whether that be inducing more walks throughout my day or doing something to elicit a response. I know even some people, they have those, the concept two bikes and they have a desk for the concept two bike.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's called like an ERG desk.
I saw a post about that.
Yeah, it's an ERG desk. So you can have the concept two bike, they make a concept two desk that you can put on your bike and that way you can pedal and do, you know, do office work, which would be a lot easier, I think, than trying to walk on a treadmill and try to do work on a treadmill. Because,
sure.
Like, on a treadmill, you're kind of bouncing up and down, you know?
Moving a lot.
But at least, like, on the walks, you can, if you can do work on your phone, you can do that while you're walking, or do, like, a meeting on your phone, or, you know, play music, play video games. You can do things on your phone as well.
I think it's funny because, like, I've heard of so many people, and it's only Thursday, but, like, they know how many steps their street is. They know how many steps their neighborhood takes now. And I'm like, that's good, though. And I was like Heidi yesterday. She was like, it's 3,200 steps for me to walk around my neighborhood.
Okay, that's like a mile and a half. Because about a mile is about 2,000 steps.
2,000-ish.
And so that gives you a general idea of for you to reach 10,000 a day, you got to walk roughly 5 miles worth of walking throughout your day periodically. And so that was really the reasoning behind it is – I think sometimes we get so sucked into what am I doing at the gym and what am I doing with nutrition, which is obviously extremely important. That's probably 89% of the puzzle, but we forget about just the simplicity of being more active as you're moving throughout your day. Like I've heard people going like off to Europe, right? And because when you're in Europe and you're backpacking through Europe, whatever else, that they actually lose weight while they're over there.
Because how much walking.
Because how much they're moving around, right? And also the fact that a lot of their food's over there, well, a lot of their food's over there are also a lot more clean products, and their portion sizes are a lot smaller than ours as well. So that's also a byproduct of that. But when you're walking, you know, 20 to 30,000 steps a day, I mean, you're burning calories a lot more than you would be otherwise just sitting here, going to work, sitting, driving and sitting, getting your hour, working, and then going home and sitting, mm-hmm. you know. So it's been cool in that aspect. So, but like I tell people as well, if you're currently hitting 5,000 steps, like try to slowly ramp that volume up over time. Like sometimes going from like a 3,000 step count a day to 10,000 step count a day could be a big lifestyle habit change. So slowly over that period of the challenge, definitely try to increase those steps as you prolong the next 6 weeks and whatnot. Also, real quick, we haven't talked about this. It's kind of one-off. You got any New Year's resolutions? Are you a New Year's resolution kind of guy or no?
For me?
Yeah. I know you're doing the challenge as well.
Yeah, I'm doing the challenge with y'all. I don't necessarily have anything like that, but I have a goal.
Okay.
I have a goal.
Are you willing to speak on the goal
or
no?
My goal is for the pool party to have my abs back.
Okay. that's my goal. And that's part of the challenge.
So that's going to be kind of like part of my deal is like since November, October, I've been getting my shit back together. So I was like, that would be a good goal for me.
Okay. That's cool.
So we're going to go for that.
All right. Sweet. So kind of cliche for this time of the year, but I thought it would be a good leeway for you guys. Is how to make 2024 your fittest year thus far,
mm-hmm. right? Hey, you didn't answer yours.
Oh, what's my goals?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't ask.
Well, I just asked.
Well, there you go. I got a couple things. One being to read the Bible throughout the year, right? So like try to get to the Bible by the end of the year. I'm not going to say officially like it has to be like I have to finish the Bible, but the goal is to read the Bible at least 5 to 6 times per week. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my general goal. It gets me, and I'm also kind of, I bought a Bible study to go with it, right? And the Bible study is set to where you can get through it in a year, right? But the required reading is anywhere from like 1 to 4 hours worth of reading. Okay. So and it's a little bit more difficult for me to get in like a huge volume of reading in one day just because, you know, it's really hard to go home and read when you got 4 kids running around the house. And so usually it's after I put them to bed that I have my opportunity to kind of read the Bible. But also it's a little bit later at nighttime, so I'm not going to stay up. Right now I'm almost done with Genesis. So I got like 10 more pages of Genesis left.
What is that, like 100-something pages?
I think it's like 65. At least in the Bible. Like I literally have like a 6 to 10 year old Bible. That way it's a little bit more understandable
like
to read.
I was kind of doing the same, but like I just finished Numbers. And I'm only like 200-something pages in. It's 240-something.
Right now I'm on with Joseph.
Okay.
Which is kind of the back half of Genesis there. And so I'm getting to the end of that one. Yeah, I'm getting to the end of Genesis now. And so I'm trying to get through that and trying to follow along the best I can. Like I said, I'm not going to put the pressure on myself to have to finish it by the end of the year. But just a simple act of actually getting into the Bible. Because I've growing up, I never like grew up in this as a religious family per se. And so it was always something I kind of know I need to do or want to do. And, you know, using the opportunity as I end the year to kind of get into that. And obviously going to church a little bit more for our family. So we're trying to at least make it at least 2 to 3 times per month to church. Because obviously we go to church in Lake Charles as well. And sometimes it can be a little difficult trying to get little ones up on Sundays to get them dressed and ready to go to church every single morning. And then trying to also prioritize having a little bit more date nights with Kaylee as well. Okay. Because when you get lost in the sauce of having kids, it's sometimes hard to just be with each other sometimes. So actually establishing those date nights a little bit more frequently is kind of a goal as well.
I like that.
And so, and also I got like other like, you know, business goals or like performance goals, things like that. And I think at least on a, for like working out standpoint, like 2023 was kind of a weird year for me because obviously early that year I've been dealing with my knee for a while. Mm-hmm. But it was always kind of like I could kind of work my way around it. Well, earlier last year, the knee kind of got to the point in time like, okay, I got to do something about it. So had surgery in March. And then obviously post-surgery, you're kind
of... coming up on a year.
March would be a year for me surgery. That was late March, March 28th.
I feel like you just did that like 6 months
ago. Right? The only reason I know the exact date because it's on Cooper's birthday.
Okay.
So obviously over the summer... was kind of getting and rehabbing that for the most part, right? Where towards the end of the summer, I was kind of getting back into working out normally for the most part. And then even as you kind of get back from an injury, you're still kind of in that teeter-totter phase where like some days it feels better than others, and some mental hurdles you got to get over. And so the intensity was kind of all over the place from week to week. And so my goal, not necessarily like I have like any aspirations to compete or like certain numbers on the board or like that. It's just getting back to the point in time, like, okay, I feel like I'm giving my best effort in these workouts. Now, regardless of what that outcome looks like it, my general goal is to kind of go back to that 2017 mindset I had of like, I'm not really focused on like what my score is. It's like just giving my best effort this individual day compared to this past year where I was just more so like, I'm just kind of establishing the habit of getting back, getting uncomfortable again and kind of get my knee back to like an area that I feel comfortable with. And now that I've kind of gotten to that area now where I've kind of established my workout routine again and my intensity is kind of now my goal is to focus on bringing my best A game each individual day, whatever that score may be, mm-hmm. really. So that's what I got for myself. So like I said, it's kind of cliche for the year, but I thought we'd be a good opportunity for us to give our take on what our opinions on or for you guys getting your fittest thus far in 2024 compared to any other year. And me and Kel were kind of sit down before the podcast and come up with a couple of lists of things. And we came up with six. I'm sure you could do a lot more if you wanted to. And it's not going to be just like, oh, you need to work out 3 times a week. It's going to be a little bit more broader than that, a little bit more mindset than anything, I guess. So we came up with six. The first one that we came up with was think about consistency, then intensity, and then volume. So kind of unpacking that. Is a lot of times when we're either A, getting back in the gym, we kind of had this lull during the holidays, or maybe we just hadn't been consistent in 2023 like we'd like to have been, or we're actually just starting up a whole new workout regimen, maybe you're somebody new starting with us, is we get really wrapped up into like, I gotta go super hard in the gym, I gotta go 6 days a week, and you're full of motivation and piss of vinegar and you wanna go super hard, right? Well, before you go to that extreme level, maybe you should just backtrack and like, kind of like I made a post in there in the group yesterday, is how consistent have you been the past 6 months, right? Like start there. Like don't focus on like what the end result of the workout is, what kind of results you're getting. It's just focus on the habit of being there.
Yeah.
Right? Like getting your feet inside the door, setting the habit of making the choice of going to the gym on a regular basis and doing that on a consistent enough timeline, right? Like give yourself 3 to 6 months to establish that first. I think sometimes, especially if you're more of a type A personality, you put so much pressure on yourself to
be the best
version that you can, like going 7 days a week. And
it's almost like you're just jumping in the fucking deep end.
Yeah.
Just like swim.
And sometimes like you're trying to cold turkey, like somebody trying to quit smoking, right? Trying to go cold turkey, but you're flip-flopping that in the way to fitness, right? You're trying to go from like being in this lull to like, all right, I'm gonna fucking slam my head into the wall.
Yeah.
It's like, give yourself a little grace and just establish the point of being consistent in the gym. Put your feet inside the door and the rest will take care of itself, regardless of what that outcome looks like. Just be present and be there. And taking 3 to 6 months to do that, right? Like, take your time from here to March to say, my goal is just to keep fucking showing up. I'm trying to show up 3 days. If I was only doing like 1 day a week the past like 6 months, my goal is at least make it 2 or 3 times a week for the next 6 months, right? And establish that consistency first. Then once that's now established, then we can start to really focus in like, okay, what kind of intensity are we bringing to these sessions, right? Like, but the consistency's got to happen first, regardless of what kind of intensity you're bringing. That's got to happen. The next is like, okay, what kind of intensity that we can bring to these sessions. So it doesn't necessarily have to be in the way of me, I know we talk about like advancing colors and advancing weights and things like that. And all that's fine. And I think that's great. But if we're kind of bringing it back to the elementary level of kind of like what I spoke to myself a little bit, is just focusing on giving your, and only you, that's it's subjective, but focusing only on what only you can give that individual day, right? Like it might not be your best effort ever. It might not be a PR effort. It may not wow you like, okay, I know on a good day I could do better. But it's the best I had today.
Sure.
Right? And focusing on just that component of it's getting uncomfortable, but I'm just gonna kind of, I'm gonna talk myself a legend, I'm just gonna keep going. Right? Like that's how I think about it personally, is I get inside of a workout, like for instance, like last Friday's workout, right? That 400-meter run workout, that was atrocious workout, where the D-ball cleans,
yeah.
is you're at that point in time where it's uncomfortable, right? But you have to make that choice in the workout of, or that conscious thought of, okay, I don't need to necessarily push harder, but my goal is just not to stop.
Yeah.
Like everything in me says to stop. I know if I push the gas pedal down too far right now, I'm gonna completely implode. My goal is just to keep moving at the end of this workout. Like at the end of the day, when I get done this workout, I'll know, okay, I gave my best effort in this workout, regardless of what that is. And like just focusing on that. Like don't put so much pressure on yourself that it has to be like I have to get this certain time, or I have to get this many rounds, or I have to do every set of wall balls unbroken. If you can push yourself to do it, great, right? But at the same time, just give yourself the effort, like, okay, it's getting uncomfortable, but I'm gonna be okay. Like, and just focus on that intensity day in and day out, regardless of what that looks like. Like, go back to the elementary level of just giving the intensity of whatever that is. And then once that's established and you feel comfortable there, right? You can still focus on, like, hey, I wanna try to go from, you know, orange to blue or blue to purple, whatever it may be. And I think all those things are fine. I'm trying to increase weight. But start with that step first. And then once that's established, you can start to kind of get a little bit more into those weeds of things and start focusing on the details at that standpoint. And then once that's established, you've gotten consistency, you've gotten intensity, then start to focus on volume,
okay.
Right? Meaning if you're coming 3 days a week, you've been doing that for the last 6 months, try to make it 4 times a week, make it 5 times a week. Or if you're somebody where you're coming currently 5 days a week, then maybe think about, okay, what maybe do I want to include some supplementary programming? Do I want to, you know, try to get strict pull-up? Maybe I should try to program, you know, 2 extra days of me including some extra volume into my program, right? You could increase, you know, volume in the way of going from purple to brown because now you're inducing more reps. There's multiple ways you can go about doing that, right? And one kind of caveat to this is maybe you're somebody who's consistent and does a decent amount of volume, but doesn't have the intensity anymore. Right? I think that's a little bit more with some of our OG members.
Sure.
Is that...
That's a good point, because I feel like that's probably a good bit of people.
So I think for... like you kind of, people kind of fall in two pools, right? I think you either go with the... depending on where your hierarchy needs, but if you're somebody who lacks consistency in the gym, then you go with the consistency, intensity, volume standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
If you're somebody who's in the gym consistently, right, you're consistently, you have enough volume, you're coming 5 times a week, but now we're lacking intensity,
uh-huh.
right? So getting back to that, of focusing on what kind of effort you can give that day and quit with the mindset of just checking the box, right? Because I think on a long enough timeline of just checking the box, that's how motivation slowly starts to dwindle over time. That's how you almost get
burnt out.
You're going to have to pull that lever of intensity again and rekindle that flame for intensity again. It doesn't mean you got to throw up, right? It doesn't mean you have to go balls out fall on the floor every single day. But
for that day,
going back to the purpose of I'm here, let me make it worth my time, right? Like, let me give my best effort and whatever the outcome may be. And going back to that general principle again, inducing intensity on a more regular basis, right? I think people fall into getting, okay, like I'm coming 5 days a week, I'm consistent, all that's great. And they kind of get into this box of comfort of like, okay, well, I'm gonna keep doing purple and I'm gonna kind of attack it at this kind of intensity, you know? And they're trying, right? But they know that they're given like an 80%, 85% effort.
Sure.
When they're not truly given like a 90, 95% effort. I'm not saying you guys sell out, but you're not clipping over to that that standpoint anymore. And because of that, maybe you've seen a little regression start to happen, right? Just because you come 5 days a week doesn't mean it's going to guarantee results,
yeah.
right? You still, the intensity lever still has to be pulled.
If you want to see results, intensity has to be
there. It has to be there, right? Like volume and like being consistent will get you a little bit of leeway, right? But at the end of the day, the lever intensity has to be pulled on a regular basis to elicit the response that you want, right? It doesn't have, like I said, it doesn't have to be 100%, but it's got to be, you know, 85, 90% plus. So number two, having some type of nutritional strategy of some kind. I'm not going to give details on it. Like, obviously, you could do the consistency over everything challenge where it has the protein, the fruit and vegetable standpoint. But having some type of nutritional practice in place is key, whether it be for aesthetics or performance or longevity. All these also surrounded are surrounded by with nutritional practices. It can be anything that you feel like you want to do, but you need to implement something. It could be intermittent fasting. It could be keto. It could be carnivore. It could be fruits and meat. It could be no alcohol. It could be no sugar. Whatever that nutritional practice that feel like you is speaks to you personally, but you need to find something.
Yeah.
Right? For any of you guys who currently are not doing any nutritional practice, you're leaving a lot of results on the table. You're missing out on a lot of opportunities to see gains that you have not seen otherwise. Doesn't have to be very complicated, but choose something. Doesn't matter what it is. And if you don't know where to start, come ask a coach.
Sure.
One of the best key takeaways I always tell everybody is start with protein. And that's the easiest task. You're not depriving yourself of anything. We're not taking away anything. By just simply saying, and you're getting a little bit of like quality and quantity in there, where we're focusing on, hey, how much protein are you eating in a day? Start looking into that a little bit more and go from there, right? But it's going to require a little bit of work.
It's going to require some effort.
It's going to require a little bit of effort. Like, you're not just going to just start
your body weight in gram protein.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going
to happen. And it has to be intentional. I think for a lot of individuals, going to a restaurant and getting the grilled chicken instead of the fried chicken. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm eating good now.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
that's a good change.
Like, oh, well, you know, I had an apple this morning. Like, that, I'm eating better now. And that's great, right? But it's going to have to be a little bit more of a conscious effort than just that alone, right? It's going to have to be a little bit more effort in the way of, you know, going to the grocery store, picking up some protein, cooking the protein, weighing out the protein, so on and so forth, right? Those kind of nutritional practices are going to be key to your success. You're not just going to stumble upon it, mm-hmm. right? You just can't make some choices every so often, and that's going to be the results that you're looking for, right? Find some type of nutritional practice that you can sustain, that's going to require a little bit of effort, and go with it from there, and try to do that for the next 6 months and see what kind of results you see, right? I'm not saying you're going to sit there and get single-digit body fat from it, right? Because
guarantee you can look in the mirror and see a change, though.
But you're probably going to see some type of physical change over a long enough timeline. Number three, control what you can control. I'm sure you maybe have heard this before, but we always, inevitably, society has been formed in a way that is not advantageous for our health, obviously, right? We talked about with the step count, we're sitting in desk most of the day. Not everybody, but a lot of people are sitting in desk all day. You're driving. You're maybe getting a couple workouts in a week, and then you're going home and you're on devices. You know, you're sitting watching TV, you're on your phone, whatever it may be. Nutritionally wise, you know, unless you're preparing your food on your own, there's a high chance that you're not eating in a way that's going to be advantageous to maintain a healthy body weight. It's just how it is. Good food is not readily available, right? Highly processed foods are. Society is set up in a way for you not to be successful when it comes to your nutrition or health in general. And you have to control the variables that are obviously within your control. And that means making better food choices, preparing your foods ahead of time, coming to the gym more consistently, and also controlling your attitude of what you have. There's going to be situations where, just like Monday, or was it Monday? Was it Monday the storm or Tuesday the storm?
Monday.
We had the storm, right? Where kids got let out of school early, you know, daycare open or closes, things like that. And, you know, you might have plans to come at that afternoon class, right? But now I have my kids and I can't go. Well, you can still make the choice of doing the hurricane home workout mm-hmm. or doing 100 burpees per time, right? There's a choice that has to be willing to make, right? Where sometimes if you made the choice of just doing it anyway, so that, and then we'll go to that a little bit as anyways in just a little while, but knowing that some things are out of your control, you cannot control, obviously that's daycare and schools closed down, but you can control if you got to work at it that day or not. You can control if you go to the grocery store and do your food prep that week and then weigh out and measure out your food. You can control those things. And then the other stuff, obviously, you can't control, right? So I think sometimes we get wrapped up in what's our daily schedule like. And because of this, it's preventing me from doing these all other things. When I walk you out, you probably can still get them in. It just might not be in the way that you had envisioned it in the first place. Like I had a conversation with somebody the other day about this as well, because, you know, same concept, her kid had gotten sick and, you know, it prevented her from coming from the gym. And I think sometimes we get wrapped up like it has to look a certain way. And basically I told her like it doesn't have to be a perfect workout to still be a good workout. Even if it's, you know, you going out in your driveway and you run down the driveway and back and do some air squats and you do 5 rounds of that, right? It might not be the most perfect workout, it might not be the most fun workout, but it's the fact that you still control what you control and still got the workout anyways is such a fucking huge victory, yeah. Right? Like I think sometimes we overlook how big of a mental victory, mental hurdle that is for people, that you got that win on the board and you proved yourself that you did it, right? I think more often than not, we set these promises in our head that we're going to do these certain things. And then on a long enough timeline, when we don't do them, we kind of know in ourselves, we're kind of full of shit. And like, we hype ourselves up like we're going to do this and something happens and we fall off track. Mm-hmm. We hype ourselves to do the certain thing and then we fall off track, right? And on a long enough timeline, you're like, okay, kind of in the back of your head, you know you're probably not going to go through with it, right? But if you actually can get that W on the board and like prove to yourself, okay, I'm capable of doing, then you're unstoppable at that point in time.
Sure.
So control what you could control and don't focus on all these other aspects of daycare's closing down or even when you come to the gym, like, you're not in control ultimately today if you're going to PR your front squat. But you can control how many days a week you're showing up and what kind of intensity you're giving into those sessions, right? Those are things in your control, not the actual outcome of it all. Number four, we talk about this in the consistency over everything class on last Saturday, is forward thinking and backwards planning. You're not going to stumble upon you just being a fit human being, mm-hmm. or a person who has an aesthetic pleasing physique or somebody who's super healthy. You don't stumble upon any of these things. These things don't happen by accident. It has to be done on purpose. And what happens, I think we all have the best intentions of going to each individual day, doing these things. But we haven't planned accordingly. We haven't thought enough of what's going to happen in the future and then how can I actually execute on this game plan. I think we kind of wake up and we're thinking, okay, well, I'm going to go to the gym at, you know, 4 o'clock and, you know, I'm going to drink some water throughout my day and I'm going to, you know, eat some meals or whatever it may be. You're going to have to actually plan these things out ahead of time and actually think about your schedule. If you know you're trying to get in 4 workouts a week and you know Tuesday afternoon you have Joey's dentist appointment and you're not going to go to the gym that day, well, you know you got to get in Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
Right? That's an automatic schedule thing out ahead of time, right? Okay, well, I know that if I'm going to the 4 o'clock class and I get off at 3:45 that I'm going to have to hurry. Yeah, I've got to pack my gym clothes the night before, right? Well, I know I have a tendency to wake up late. Well, now you got to pack your clothes the night before, put in the gym bag, put in your car. Those things are back in control, but you're forward thinking and then you're backwards planning for it. Same thing with your nutrition, where you're going to have a day, it'll be a Saturday or a Sunday or a Monday, whatever day works, that I'm like, okay, what day can I food prep and have all my meals laid out ahead of time, right? Because more than likely what's going to happen is you're just going to wake up one morning and you're just going to eat as you are, right? Like, and that's what we talked about. You're not going to have the food available to be advantageous to what you want. You're going to have to food prep. You're going to have all these food meals laid ahead of time. That way, when you wake up that morning, it's just a simple act of taking out the refrigerator and putting your lunchbox and going for the day. If I'm going to drink X amount of water, I need to have a big enough water container to elicit the amount of water I'm trying to drink in an individual day, right? I have to plan out these things. I'm not just going to stumble upon the amount of water that I need to drink. I'm going to have to plan for these things to be done. It's going to feel maybe a little bit overwhelming at first, but on a long enough timeline, it becomes routine and habit, right? I forgot exactly how it's said by James Clear in the Atomic Habits book, but it's like, we don't rise to our goals. We fail to our systems. It's kind of the gist of what he says. And that's ultimately at the end of the day is like, what's going to make you successful are the systems and the habits that you have in place for the goals that you have.
It's going to ultimately determine what you accomplish.
At the end of this. It's not just because you have these goals of getting to a certain body fat percentage or getting to a certain weight or lifting an X amount of weight. These things just don't happen, right? You just don't, because you have this goal, it magically happens. There has to be systems involved with going on for you to get there, right? Think of it just like a business. You're just not going to stumble upon getting 1,000 members by accident, right? Like, it's something that has to be done and thought out, and a game plan has to be put in approach, and a system has to be put in approach, and then you have to execute on that system long enough for a timeline and to see if it's operating appropriately or not. But a system has to be put in place to accomplish that goal. So that's number four. Forward thinking, backwards planning. Number five, lean into your coaches. Very often, we are stuck in the forest of our own shit. And you can't see in front of you. And we don't know what we can do to get out of the forest and actually get to the goals that we want. An example of this, I had somebody reach out to me a couple weeks ago, and you know, she had kind of, her family life had picked up, you know, family priorities had picked up, her work priorities had picked up. In the process, she hasn't been very consistent in the gym for the past, you know, several months. And you know, she reached out to me, basically saying like, I don't want to cancel, but I feel like I kind of have my hands tied behind my back. I don't know what to do. And the more we talked, you know, we kind of understood, okay, these were the days that she was very much locked in. And these were days that had a lot more flexibility than she had not thought about previously. And so we came up with a game plan, right? Like, okay, we're going to do this on Monday. We're going to do this on Tuesday. We're going to do this on Wednesday, and so on and so forth. And that's allowed her to now access on a more consistent routine with her fitness. By the time, she couldn't maneuver through the forest, right? She was too stuck in there.
Set eyes almost.
Yeah. You needed that eagle-eye point of view from the forest to understand, okay, what's our best approach for based off what you want, right? I think sometimes we get really wrapped up into what's going on, what this is our case scenario. And it can seem too overwhelming to tackle your fitness goals, so to speak, or tackle your health. Because inevitably what ends up happening, you know, family and business like that, a lot of times is, you know, putting out fires, there are immediate actions that have to be taken place. And your health in the process of that kind of gets put on the back burner, because health's not, more often not an immediate thing that has to be taken care of, right? Like, if I work out today, it doesn't mean I'm going to get dramatically more fit tomorrow, right? Like, it has to be done on a long timeline, but it's a long-term thing, right? Or if I don't work out today, it's not going to really affect me tomorrow, right? But if I don't go to my kid's soccer game, well, I can't get that back, mm-hmm. right? So, but the thing is, though, is you're going to have to still put a priority on the workout. That might mean waking up earlier, or you know, getting something in at home. But I'm still getting in that we talked about previously, still getting that W on the board, and still taking care of the long term thing.
Sure.
Because what ends up happening, just like you're in school and you start off the semester, and the teacher's like, "All right, you have this 200-word paper or 200-page paper that has to be done by the end of semester for your final, but you got all semester to get it done. What ends up happening? You wait until after Thanksgiving break that to start working on the paper, and you got to get a 200-page paper done in 3 days, right? But you had literally 120 days to get it done. You're going to last three to take care of it, right? And that's how it happens with fitness as well, is, you know, going along the timeline, and now you're 70 pounds overweight, you're diabetic, and you have high blood pressure, right? Well, that didn't happen overnight. And the same concept happens, you procrastinated it too long. And now it's an immediate thing that has to be taken care of, right? And everything else now has to be put on the back burner because your health is so bad. And it's working on the long-term stuff every single day. Is start with that first, and then worry about the short-term first after that. So, but lean into the coaching staff to help you guys out. I think that's one tool that you guys don't utilize enough of, is if Kel reaches out to you, if I reach out to you, or after a class, if you guys are struggling with something, let us know. Like, you have these, like, I have this or this, and I'm not sure what the best approach to it. We'll talk it out. We'll work our way through. That's the biggest thing with you guys is it's not just us teaching a thruster. Sure. It's not just us putting you guys through a warm up. It's asking those questions of, how can I get to the gym more consistently? This is my schedule. I don't know how I can get here more. Or what do you suggest that I do? I'm 30 pounds overweight. I need to lose 30 pounds. I'm not sure what to do. Like, I've been coming to the gym 6 months now. I need to lose 30 more pounds. What do I do? Ask these questions, right? Don't feel like, you know, you're here for your hour and the coach is not available to you. Use the coaching staff. Like, come up with goals. Come up with actionable goals. Come up with ideas on how to get in here more often. But lean into a coach to help you guys out. Do that. Like, if you're not currently using a coach on a more regular basis, I would highly recommend doing that for sure. And it's also a way for you to have accountability, right? I think that's one of the biggest aspects of that, is having somebody know, like, speaking it into action of saying, this is what I want, and that person knowing what you want, and then holding you accountable to those actions, right? I think more often than not, we'll say what we want, but then we actually don't take action upon doing it. And having somebody to actually say, hey, you said you were going to be here today. Where were you? You know, and those are the people that are going to allow you to see the results that you want, because more often than not, you'll just kind of like let – it's kind of like doing a partner workout, mm-hmm. where you don't want to let that person down.
Sure.
Right? Like, you're a lot more willing to push yourself in a partner workout maybe than you would be in an individual side. You know, maybe you hold a little bit higher wattage on the bike because, well, you know, I really got to – or maybe you do a couple extra more reps because, you know, this person's waiting on me, whatever it may be. Or you move a little bit faster. It's the same concept with, you have a coach, is maybe show up a little more because now they're expecting to be here. Maybe you're doing nutrition and you have somebody to hold you accountable to eating certain ways. Whatever it may be. But definitely find those things and lean into that coach if you're not doing that currently. Anything you want to add to any of these things so far? I know I've been talking a lot.
I do think that's a good point, though, because I feel like – it's part of your membership to use us. So why not use us?
Exactly. That sounds like prostitution, but hey-o. Okay. Mm-hmm. And last thing that we kind of came up with is, do it anyways. We, more often than not, you know, we'll have these things that we want to do, right? Like, we have this game plan. I'm going to go 4 days a week. Or I'm gonna eat a certain way, or I'm gonna, you know, drink X amount of water, as examples. And I think, you know, we formulate this game plan and it's like, okay, well, now I just gotta do it, which is true. But then life happens, right? Like, you know, work is stressful. You get in a fight with your spouse. Kids acting like shit, whatever it may be, and you get stressed. And you don't want to, right? You say to yourself, like, I had a shitty day at work. I'm just going to go home. I'm just going to relax at home instead of going to the gym. But what if you went anyways? I really don't want to eat this meal. I think I'm just going to go do takeout instead. What if you did it anyways? Like, oh, I really just want a Coke. I don't want to drink this thing of water. What if you did it anyways? And if you do that on a long enough timeline, That's how you fucking see results.
Yeah.
That's how you fucking see the results. You don't do it by accident. It has to be a choice that you have to make over and over and over again, right? It doesn't go away, per se. The choice gets easier over time, but it doesn't fully go away, right? There's still days that I'm like, especially because I have the luxury of, you know, being my own boss, like, I think I'm just gonna stay home today. Mm-hmm. But it's a choice of, I'm gonna go anyways, right? It's so much easier just to say no, like to choose that easy wrong over the hard right, so to speak. It's always easier to do that, right? And people can, you can use it as discipline. You can say it's a discipline. You can say it's willpower, however you want to put that in there, right? But, you know, discipline or willpower is just like a muscle that it has to be exercised on a regular basis. And the longer you don't use it, the weaker it's going to get. And the more you use it, the stronger it's going to get. And I kind of said this in the consistency over everything challenge is, you know, discipline, you know, everybody has different definitions for discipline, but in my opinion, like it's simple of, you know, discipline, all it really is just denying you something that you want now for something better in the future. It's kind of the more a discipline approach, right? You know, you want the slice of pizza now because it's going to make you feel comfortable and better right now, right? But then tomorrow you're going to wake up regretting because, like, oh shit, now I gained 3 pounds last night because I ate like an asshole. Or you go a week or two without going to the gym and you go back and you're like, oh, I feel like shit.
It's the worst thing ever.
Like now I'm trying to get back into my fitness routine. And just having the mindset of like, just do it anyways. I know I don't feel great, but I'm going to do it anyways. Right. And just that repetitive cycle of saying it over and over and over again. Right. Do that for 3, 6, 9 months. You'll be a completely changed person because of it. On a physical and a mental side of that as well. So it just comes down to those choices over and over and over again. And so
I feel like that's kind of like the moral of the podcast. Just do it anyways.
Just do it anyways, right? Like, and it is so much easier to say it than to actually do it. But it's fucking true, man. Like that's how I think sometimes we can be a little bit, I don't know the best way to put it, but kind of wrapped up into our own shit where you think your problems are unique to just you, mm-hmm. right? Where you're like, well, I'm stressed, you know, because it's this one thing in my life and because that's unique to me and I don't have to do what I need to do because I'm stressed or I'm tired or have anxiety or are depressed or whatever, you know, put your thing in there, what you want to put in. But it's those people who are like, they can take that moment to like stand up for just like 10 seconds to say, I got to do this anyways, mm-hmm. regardless of how I feel, I'm gonna do it anyways. Right. And more often than not, you know, when you get on the other end of that shit, you feel a lot better, yeah. right? You went through kind of what we talked about. You kind of went through the shit and you went through the wall and you're better on the other side of it. Right. Just like when you go for a workout, more often than not, you might not feel like you want to go, but when you get done, you're like, all right, I'm glad you did that. I'm glad I knocked it out. Right. And so, yeah, I kind of put a bow on it anyways. I guess that would be the whole entire thing of like, do it anyways, would be kind of the
like
aspect of it.
Put that as their screensaver now.
That'd be a cool shirt. Do it anyways.
It'd be a good screensaver.
That'd be a cool shirt or something like that. But so hopefully this maybe helps some of you guys out when it comes to, you know, your mindset kind of going into the year. And, you know, because at the end of the day, you can't separate the psychological and the physical side of these things. They are entwined too with one another. And your mindset goes a humongous way in going for you guys being to take care of your health for the next year and whatnot. And so just kind of briefly going back over it. Number one, consistency, then intensity, then volume. Number two, have some type of nutritional practice. Number three, control what you can control. Number four, forward thinking backwards planning. Number five, lean into your coaches. And number six, do it anyways.
Do it anyways.
Anything else you want to add to that, Kel?
I like this one.
All right. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Peace.